Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, silly me, my dear, for thinking that you'd stay. Gave you my heart and then you ran away.
Welcome to Relationship 204, guys. I'm your host, Tanisha Simpkins. I'm so sorry. It's like when you're trying to do five things at one time, sometimes that just happens. Guys, this is Relationship 204. If this is your first time tuning in, we talk about relationships, all things relationships, from man, woman, dating, God, friendship, business, all the ships. And I want to welcome our host here on the line here. I have three people. I'm excited about it to hear the three of you guys collaborate together tonight. That's John, my pleasure. Say hello to our audience.
Hey, how are you guys?
Awesome, awesome. And we have Shekinah Bruton. Shekinah. Prophetess.
She
is, John.
My
dad
is connected.
No, she's still
there. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, y'all. I'm here. I had the mute button on. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And then we have Lewis Johnson out of Atlanta. Hey, Lewis, how are you today?
How are you? I'm good. What's up, everyone?
And everybody's from a great different location. I have John and Shekinah here in the South Florida area, and Lewis is from the Atlanta, Georgia area. So we have a good collaboration, diverse group of people, and, you know, hope you guys enjoy. And if you're on the line right now, invite your friends to listen in, or they can actually just click the link that's on Facebook or click the link, just go to Blog Talk Radio and search Relationship 204. They should be able to listen in. At the same time, they can also chat. I have the chat room open. If you're on the computer and you click the chat, guys, they can actually chat with us. So if you're near a computer, you can do that too. Just make sure you turn the volume off if you're using the phone. Now, I thought about this topic here, guys, from just various conversations and from people talking. And I kind of named it preparation versus I'm still not ready. Can anybody relate?
Ooh, I can relate.
You know, and then somebody was like, well, that might be the same thing. No. Preparation, because sometimes preparation, we gear to wanting to do something or wanting to get ourselves aligned to doing something or to be ready for something versus I'm still not ready, meaning I keep saying I'm not ready yet. I gotta do a couple of things. I need to get my credit scores up. I need to, take care of my child support. I need to, do a whole lot of stuff before I can actually say, and that ain't even marriage. That's just getting to a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Anybody? Hello?
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, it seems like for some apparent reason, you're fading in and out.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Maybe, I don't know. Sometimes these things do that. But just go ahead and add to what I was saying, Lewis.
I really think in some just from some, you know, small research that I've done and speaking with some of, and I'll speak from a male's perspective, when you're looking at preparation versus still not ready, I think, and this is where they say men don't have feelings, and I think, you know, we do when it comes to this. Although, from my experience, we kind of lack in this this department compared to women, because from a feeling standpoint, I think preparation is feelings, and still not ready is excuses. Because when you look at feelings, when a man's ready and he really understands his feelings and what it's about, he knows there's nothing that will stop him from being with this woman or being with this partner. Versus when you talk about still not ready, he uses excuses. I don't got money, you know, my feet is not under my, you know, not under me. I got situations, I got this I need to take care of, and we make excuses. But when a man understands his feelings, I really think preparation becomes easy, because then he understands, he knows, and he goes after the woman that he wants to be with. And that's really when he's in tune with himself. So, I mean, that's what I look, how I looked at it.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Let me jump in here, because, you know, I like to stir the pot, you know. I like to get the hot sauce going on right now. So, you know, for me, when I think about what's the topic again? Preparation, but I'm not ready.
Yeah.
What is it again?
Okay, yeah,
for
right.
me, I feel like, you know, that says something different for me. You know, I look at it like I'm prepared. I know, you know, women, we say this so often. I'm ready for a man. I'm ready. I'm ready for my husband. I'm ready. Lord, send me. We say it so often that we're ready. But when we're faced with an opportunity of a really good brother, we find out that we're really not ready. Although we feel we're ready, meaning we're prepared, I'm independent, I have my own stuff going on, I run my own household, you know, I take care of my own bills, I'm ready. But when you're faced with an opportunity of a great guy, you will find out you're not as ready as you thought you were, because now other things have surfaced, you know, your confidence, your insecurities, you know, you find out things in him that you're like, I don't know, because it's scaring me right now. So I thought I was prepared, but now I'm seeing I'm really not ready. A mature woman can make that choice or can see that I said I was prepared, but I see I need a little bit more of work in some areas. I think for me, I love to put myself on Front Street. I don't mind pulling the teeth about me. Being single but dating now, I find myself saying, man, I want a husband. I feel I'm ready. But as I'm engaging now in dating, you know, I'm like, dang, I'm not as ready as I thought I was. You know, I'm faced with, you know, things that scares me sometimes, or, you know, I'm faced with the fact that I have to let go and relinquish myself to somebody. And so many things have surfaced to show me, although I thought I was prepared, I may be prepared, but I'm just yet not ready. So,
yeah,
and
let me jump in.
Go ahead, Louis.
This is John, actually.
Okay.
I everywhere I go, what I find is that, I get the question as to, John, why are you still single? If you desire marriage so badly, then why are you still single? And I'll always let them know that I personally believe that I'm still in the season of preparation, and that there are some things that I'm still getting in order before I dive into marriage. And, of course, the women get very upset, and I understand why. And here it is. I think that there is really no amount of preparation that could ever really make you ready for marriage. Because there are always going to be things that come your way that were unexpected. However,
right.
I also do believe, and this is where, my personal conviction is, I also do believe there are certain things that you shouldn't prepare to fail. There are just certain things, I think, especially as a man, we have to get in order. You have to get the house in order. You have to just have a few things ready, so when this woman comes in, she's good. And I quote this everywhere I go, that if a man expects a woman to be an angel, then he's going to have to create a heaven for her to live in. And so as a man, I certainly do want to take responsibility and prepare myself. You know, as I posted today, I don't want to be that man. And preparation is not simply financially. It is emotionally. It is mentally. You know, you don't want to be that man that causes a woman to fall for you if you're not ready to catch her heart. And so I just want to be that guy that is ready totally. I mean, spiritually ready to cover her. Emotionally, I should be able to understand her. And of course, the financial aspect, certainly. So although we can prepare and lay foundation, at the end, I do get it that we would never, ever truly be ready. It's just going to be an experience. That's my take.
You know, and that's a good take, but then how long? I mean, do we put this limit? Because a person can, you see people who been in relationships
right.
2 or 3 years, and they say, oh, I ain't ready yet. But you, she knows everything. She knows what part you're not ready on, especially if it's finance, especially if it's, you know, certain things. So she kind of already know what part you may need to come up to par with. So it's like you say you may not be ready, but you're still in the process with her, preparing also to be ready.
Here's the thing. Once I get in the relationship process, then I ought to be ready for marriage. It makes no sense for me to be dating if I'm not ready for marriage. And so that's why I tell people, they say, well, why aren't you dating? Why aren't you doing certain things? Because I know me. I know once I fall hard. And then once I'm in, we going all the way. We taking it to the altar. And so in order for me not to allow my feelings to be the main thing that gets invested, I got to pull back and say, let me not even dive into a relationship until I'm ready for all of this. Because I know a joker like me, once I get in, we going full force. We going all the way.
And, you know, you're absolutely right, John. John, you're absolutely right. I feel like we should not – I mean, dating is dating. Let's make sure we understand dating is exploring, it's interviewing, it's getting to know the person. But after you have decided that this is the person you want to be with, that means in your dating stages, you're in preparation. I'm making sure that I have what I need, she has what she needs, he has whatever, vice versa. You know, you're preparing for each other. Now, when I'm ready to get in an exclusive relationship with you, I'm ready to accept what I saw, what you showed me, even things that you're not yet ready to do, the areas that you're not prepared for. I'm okay with it. I will embrace those areas because I've seen enough in our dating stages or the Christian community, say courting stages. I've seen enough to say I'll accept you with that, what you are prepared with thus far, and those that still have to develop. I'll take with that. I'll take the package because everybody come with a package. John, I love what you say, how everybody have a level of craziness. That comes with the package. Everybody is lacking something when they come together. That comes with the package. Everybody needs some type of deliverance, healing, or something that still have to take place. So like I think Lewis said earlier, there's still some things that still be developing that we're not yet prepared, but are you willing to accept that preparation? That package of preparation, although it's not fully yet what you wanted to be. But the best marriages that have lasted 20, 30, 50 years are the ones that they learned over the years. They didn't come completely packaged. They came with pieces, and they just build together, and the puzzle came together, and they're the best of friends. They're lovers, I mean, and they've just been together for a lifetime. So I don't look for a complete package. I don't look for somebody to be completely prepared because I know I'm not going to be completely prepared.
Right.
Like John said, you know, as you're dating, you learn, you grow. But I do need you to have some common sense, okay?
But you know what, Shekina? This is Tanisha speaking. The thing about it is we know, like, from our mate what part they're not completely prepared for, and that's something that we normally accept. But sometimes the opposite person or that person who just have to be 100% feel like they're ready with A, B, you know, C, and D, you know, and the other person's like, well, I know you ain't already there. You know what I'm saying? So we have to grow to actually get there. And that's the part about, you know, about the commitment part when you're knowing, you know, you're dating to be married or married to date is the fact that we have to grow this thing together. You know, our preparedness, we're preparing together Or, you know, some people feel like they shouldn't prepare together. You prepared and I prepared, and we just come at the altar, you know.
No, we need to prepare together.
Right.
Let me say this. I think some of this stuff stems from this preparation stuff, especially speaking from a male perspective. I do believe in, you know, preparing and building together. I love the concept. I love the idea. For me, when, you know, you talk about a helpmate, someone that comes along and help build that empire with you. However, we are finding in that helping process that many are becoming very frustrated. And so you hear, I'm just going to put it out there, and I don't want to sound like it's a battle of the sexes, but sometimes, oftentimes you hear women say, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm raising a grown man. You know, the dude fell on hard.
He don't went down.
Yep. Yeah, we're building, but it appears that you're bringing a little bit more, and now you feel, you know, and I'll be honest with you, maybe I need deliverance, and maybe it's an ego thing, or I'm not sure. But I don't want a woman to ever feel like that I'm another child to her. And I
what is that noise?
I know. Something is moving.
It ain't me. I just...
That is sad.
Somebody's gonna need it. I don't ever want her to see me as stress, someone who came to just add stress, to overwork her. And so I rather, this is me, I think I'll be a little bit more comfortable having my stuff together. And so because of that, my preparation, that preparation process is necessary solo. I think I need it. So when I come to you, my brand is has already been established. The business are going and they're good. You can come in, and I tell people everywhere I go, I know I need a woman. I'm not even, you know, I'm not sugarcoating. I believe greatness to me, and this is for me, cannot come without that right woman in my life. I know she would draw things out of me that I didn't even know was in me. However, as a man, I still want to be able to lay that foundation. I know the power of a woman, what she's able to do. I don't care how wealthy a man is. I believe it is the woman that brings favor. There are certain doors I know that I am never going to walk into until I meet my wife. That's my personal conviction. You know,
he brings favor.
Find your wife, find a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. So that sister's coming with favor. I need her. But let me lay the foundation.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I felt that, John, for you. I felt it for
you. I did, too. I felt that.
Now, let me ask you guys this question. Now, we talk about being prepared, and my listeners, if you guys have something to say, if you want to chime in, just press 1, and you'll be connected, and I'll call the last 4 digits of your phone number. Now, what about the preparedness of our emotional state? Because sometimes we meet folks, we don't always be emotionally balanced. You know, we may be still dealing with things from our past, or we may be, you know, real sensitive on situations from coming from out of a relationship. You know, I can give a couple more examples, but what about, you know, that part? Because it can be a little touchy, because you have to decide the fact if there's something, you know, before I go further, that I want to deal with. Is this something that I can deal with, you know?
Hey, no,
I would love to jump in. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you can go ahead. I'll let you go first.
Well, ladies first, I'll take it.
That's right.
So, you know, emotions, you know, flows from the heart. And the Bible tells us out of the heart flows the issues of life, you know. Women and men, we have experienced at some point hardship. We have experienced brokenness. We have been wounded. We have been hurt by relationships. And if we don't ever go back and deal with what happened in those relationships, and when I say deal with it, not dealing with what they did to you, because none of us can control what people do to us, but we can control what we allow people to do to us. And so if I allow someone to physically abuse me, I've been in a physical, abusive, and verbal relationship, abusive verbally and physically in a relationship before with a man. If I if I never went back and dealt with that, I would have continued on a pattern of me meeting men that always physically and verbally abused me. And so I would never be able to engage in a relationship without being so emotionally distressed, so
right.
sad, so depressed, so mean and angry and bitter because I know this is going to happen. So my point is I think we have to understand that it's so important. It's so important. Hear me, listeners, and whoever's listening to us. It's so important to go back and check your emotions from the past relationships, you know. And when I say check your emotions, check what you did wrong because people can only do what you allow them to do. Check what access you gave somebody to do what they did to you. And why did you let them do what they did to you? Because you didn't have security, because you didn't know your value and your worth, because you had a desperate need. Whatever it could have been, you allowed it. So go back and ask yourself, why did I allow this? Now tell yourself that you're not going to allow it anymore. Get you a good scripture to encourage yourself so that when you move forward, you will move forward now with wisdom because I understand why I made those choices. And so now out of my heart will not flow bitterness and me being angry and just on guard and very defensive for the next relationship. I'm able to manage my emotions. You know why? Because I understand this brother that I'm standing in front of today is not the brother that I was dealing with last night. Last week or last year or sister. So it's like now, you know, we have those trigger emotions. The dude from last year or sister from last year, she called your phone and he called your phone, you not answering. Oh, no, they not answering. So John did a post about this before. And the moment they don't answer, they text me, oh, you must be with bae. You must be with the other bae. And, you know, it's the emotion. I'm mad. Because you know why? Because the last dude you was with the other bae. And so now the new dude probably really is at work. Or in a business meeting, or what I would like to think, out buying me a nice gift, you know. And so that's probably why he didn't answer the call. But I'm still thinking of his behavior. Just reminded me of
Hello.
The last guy, and so now I'm gonna take it out on him because you just might be the last guy too. And now I'm enraged, and so we have to go back and deal with our choices while we settled and allow those things to happen so that we can move forward with not allowing it again.
And, you know, Shekinah said something very good and important, and it's the behavior. You know, sometimes that, you know, if you're in a relationship and you will see a familiar behavior, you'll treat that person like the familiar person. And they looking like, well, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Or what's happening? And you may not even realize that you're treating, you know, that person as a previous relationship when they may have done something that the other person may have done so great or so big, and, you know, it becomes an emotional spiral. Go ahead, man, because we don't talk.
That's right.
I mean, just to add to that, and you make a huge point when I, just from listening to how you said that, Shekinah, if we can understand and learn how to channel our energy and channel our anger, channel our happiness in a certain place and use it and not towards someone but toward the ability to learn within and how to control certain things, I really believe that one of the most important things that God has laid the foundation in every single one of us is nuggets of love. That's one thing that everybody has, dumb folk, smart folk, tall folk, because in any of those categories we find married folk. We find people who are in love. It's when you watch certain people, like, well, how in the world is that relationship going on? Like, them two people together? And there's some things we don't understand, and there's
right.
some things we can't see, but we don't understand how God deals with us. And we cannot remove Scripture. We cannot remove who God is as a most powerful and the most high. And when he lays the foundation, and, you know, for instance, 2 Peter, first chapter, when he talks about, and add to your faith all these different things, which is love, and add patience, kindness, you know, long-suffering, all these things you have to add to whom your faith is within. And what happens is, as individuals, you become this type of individual who understands love and what it does. You understand how it operates. You understand what it does to others by you being empowered to have it. I will never apologize. I would never apologize.
Well, we can love somebody. We can love a person. But, you know, can we love them when they're
absolutely
a little unbalanced?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
yes.
Because we're talking about them being basically unbalanced, emotional and all of that there. Are we able to, you know, because you'll say yes in the beginning, you know what I'm saying? But if you're not realizing, you know, what you're dealing with, both men and women, you know what I'm saying? And then you
mm-hmm.
realize, you know, and you guys been in situations, you know, when you've been with the woman and she may have had a hardship, a hard time in a previous relationship. So you say to yourself, okay, I know what I need to do and, you know, certain things I have to do to build her trust and to make her, you know what I'm saying, feel good about me. Mm-hmm. You know, guys, y'all know that. And it's the same thing with a woman as well. You know, we say, okay, well, I know what I need to do. I know how I need to do this, you know, to make him feel comfortable and to trust and so forth. We do that also.
But mm-hmm. see, here's my issue with that. You said something good. You said knowing what they need to do. And, you know, so many people have been hurt to where it's all about me now, you know. And so when you engage in a relationship with someone where he is saying you need to focus on my needs and she is saying you need to focus on my needs, then it's like no needs will ever be met because she is looking for you to know where – she's looking for you to know she's been taken advantage of by men after men. She's looking for you to understand she's fragile at this point. Can you not see me, man? You know, and then he's looking like I done gave all to this sister and she robbed me. She robbed me of years. She robbed me of my money. So both parties are screaming, saying, can you see my need? And but that's all that's happening. Both parties are saying, can you see my need? But and both parties is expecting each other to make them feel, you get what I'm saying? It's like, I need you to
that's
make
true.
Me feel like you, but what about what he needs? So I'm not focusing on what he needs. He needs to make me feel what I need, and then it would never work out because each party is just focused on you need to get what I need, give me what I need. No, we need to shift the focus. Let me focus on your needs. You focus on my needs. We should be good. But that's not what's happening. It's really not. We all are victims in relationships. I'm the victim. I need you to help me get through this moment and nourish me and be patient with me. I know I'm angry. I know I'm bitter because that last man, and I'm taking it out on you. You know? And so you need to just deal with
this.
You know what you was absolutely. You know what you were signing up for. You know, that's that subliminal talk in a relationship.
Right,
you know,
right.
She knows she bitter. She angry. You know, and he's taking it because he loves her. But a dude can only take so much and vice versa. So at some point, she has to say, let me stop playing victim and let me now be a victor.
Right. Absolutely. John?
Go ahead, Louis. So the question is, how do you, and keeping in with your topic, right? So we talk about preparation versus I'm still not ready. You know, how do you prepare for that? You know, how do you prepare for, you know, when you have those darts coming at you? And, John, you know, I mean, there's sometimes when you may think a woman, she it, and then after conversation and then after something pops off and it's like, okay, she not it. I mean, this is...
Louis, bro, let me tell you, my new motto is, I tell them this, I don't even know if a woman's attractive until I've had 15 minutes to talk to her at least.
Oh,
because
yes,
it can be as fine as I don't know what, and then open that mouth, and good God, it's just, she can be saying so much without knowing what. I can pick up craziness. I can pick up she's psycho. She needs to be in somebody's church, and they need to lay hands on her. And so I don't even, you know, I don't even just go off. Look, we need to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Now, you got some good women, John. John, I'm skillful now. I can give you that good 15 minutes. Then what?
Right.
That you see that right there is a spirit. If you could get me in those 15 minutes, and I think I'm pretty discerning. If you could get me in those 15 minutes, then you really need deliverance. You really need deliverance. But we all do. I know within those 15 minutes. But I've learned to really.
So sometimes a person just gives you a different face, you know.
But here's what I learned. Here's what I learned. We have to listen to what's not being said. And I find this all the time. I always tell couples, every time we break up with somebody, the first thing we say, I knew something was wrong. So there's always this sensing that we have. We just don't take heed to it. We know, you know, it's a vibe. It's a sensing that we all feel. You know, ladies know that man is no good. They know he's a dog. But we love to lie to ourselves because that at that moment, the feeling feels so good, you know, just to have them talking to you. At one time, I had a lady so fine talk to me. I knew she was no good, but she was just so fine. And I couldn't believe somebody that fine was interested in me. And I said, good God, you know, it's got to be the devil speaking to me. This ain't God, because she... There's no way. She's just too fine. But we, you know, you gotta. The signs are always there. The signs are always there. If we're willing to listen, they're always there.
Yeah, you're right.
It's becoming skilled at listening to what they're not saying, because people think that verbal communication speaks volumes, and it does. But let me tell you something about that nonverbal communication.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their bodies be twitching. When you bring up, you know, you say something about the ex, she just grab a knife.
Sister? I don't know.
Well, hey, guests, you guys are out there. If you have something to say, if you want to join in on the conversation, I promise you we'll be good to you. Just press the number 1 that's on your phone, or you can ask a question, go into the chat room if you're listening online, and just put your question there. Right now the topic we're talking about, preparation versus I'm still not ready. And we always think that it's the man who says he's still not ready.
Yeah.
There are a lot of us women who just say we just not ready, you know, ready for that commitment or ready for just going into marriage. We feel that we're not ready, and we do a lot of things. We beat ourselves a lot of times up too now about, you know, are we okay for this person? We know that this person may have it together, or we think they have it together, and then we're like, well, we ain't got it together. I got to fix my credit score. We have to do this. We have to do that. And so we'll give the excuse of not being ready also. You know, we're like, well, no, I'm not ready yet. I want to wait till my daughter get out the house, and your daughter might be 7 years old. You're going to wait 7 more years, you know, till they graduate. You know, we make up, you know, those type of excuses to say that we're not ready. We won't really say we're not ready out of our mouth. We'll just give some type of broad excuse of being not ready.
Wait. Okay, hold on. Let's categorize that group of women. Because men say that more than women. Okay, men are not ready for marriage. They're not ready. They got every excuse in the book. And the number one excuse they want to say is, you know, I don't know if you for real with me because, you know, you still talk to so-and-so. And that's my friend. You know, like really, men is more known. Come on, if we can look at statistics, men are more known for saying, I'm not ready. I love you. I'm going to marry you one day, girl. I'm marry you one day, girl. But, you know, we're
going to get married one day.
We're together now. We done checked up, and we still ain't married. I ain't even got a promise ring. Can I at least get a promise ring? No. But those women that you're talking about that do have that whole, I want my child to get out of college, because, you know, the concern is we want no man in our house. Definitely we have a girl.
Right.
You know, we have justifiable reasons. Those are them real independent super women. That, you know, they so independent that I done been single for so long. I've been doing it by myself. I have a choice now when I'm ready to be with a man. I think that's great. I have no problem with that. But I think you have to understand when you're too super independent, when you're so super, I've been doing this thing. Because you can miss out. You can miss out on a really good king because you just using excuses because you're really afraid. There's really fear of you now relinquishing control because, you know, the Godhead, God of a man of a woman. So, you know, for me, I speak for myself. We're just kind of afraid. And I can say by being honest, I'm afraid, to be honest, to relinquish control to men because I've been single for so long.
Well, let's be real. I mean, the fear is there for everybody. The reality is love on some level is a major risk.
That's right.
It's a risk. It's a big risk. At any minute, that joker could change. I mean, I don't care how fine she is, Lewis. Homegirl could flip on you at any minute, any second. You don't know. Love is a continual choice. It is, I wake up and I decide I'm going to love you. You know, imagine waking up to somebody and just, you know, and there's just things we don't pay attention to, even when it comes to romance. You wake up and they breath just humming early in the morning, and they look over and they say, good morning. And that breath just ain't where it needs to be. You got to make a choice to love them. You got to make a choice. And it's a choice. Here's the reality.
Okay.
Some days we really don't feel like making that choice.
That's right.
And love is a huge risk for everyone. And because men are a little bit more logical, because we're a little bit more logical, we look at things from the standpoint of risk management. And so we're weighing things out. We got to weigh it.
Really?
Out.
I didn't know that. Really?
Oh, yeah,
I love that word. So, guys, so if you listen on the line, if you're a guy, is that true? You're looking up for things for risk management? Go ahead, though.
Please,
oh, yeah,
give me some insight on that, because I didn't know what that means.
How much, you know, okay, you know, it's like investing into a business. That's how men view everything. And so you can just invest blindly. You heard of a new company, you go in and invest. Now, that's a huge risk versus gathering all your facts together, and then you can make a logical decision on whether or not it's still a risk. But you have more information to make that decision with. And oftentimes when men feel as though they have not got enough information to make that next step, they're going to retreat. They're going to pull back because I don't know enough. Or I know something and that thing is still scaring me.
Okay, hold on,
you know,
John. Hold on. Tanisha, let me just jump in here. Because I ain't know men was that deep when it came to women. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I thought risk management for a man was, dang, she's fine. Look at their body. Now, the risk is she going to kick their body like that for 5, 10, 20,
well, that's,
30 years?
That's a physical aspect. That too. Or watch this. She's fine, but she's crazy. Can I deal with the craziness because of how fine she is? All that is
yeah.
managed. So we're weighing this. Can I deal with it? Am I willing to deal with the craziness just because of how fine she is? Those are things we think about all the time. You know, and God, I don't know how transparent I can get. But just
no,
say
but
the
you
struggle
always
is real
are,
like
so go ahead.
The struggle is real. It's real for us out here, man. And here's the thing. Men aren't as vulnerable or as expressive as women are, publicly at least. But if you would really get a man to be transparent and open up, you'd be surprised what's running through that man's mind. And the problem is a lot of women say, baby, be honest with me. I'm not going to get mad. That's the biggest lie I have ever heard.
No,
you can tell me
no,
anything,
that's not
baby.
True.
Oh, my God. You know what?
I don't get mad. I just don't let you know I'm mad, and you'll figure out later that I'm really am mad.
See, there we go. Oh my God!
And women do that all the time. You know, we'll accept it for a moment, like okay, and
yep.
you know we'll be mad about it. We may not say anything, you know, but in the back of our mind, we still mad about it. And
yep.
you know, you're trying to figure out, okay, well, okay, like for instance, if you guys get into a heated conversation, you know, how long do we stay mad?
Good question.
Like, say, for instance, okay, I think we were talking about this earlier, Shekinah. You know, you're in a relationship, you have an argument, two people have an argument. If one person wants to say, we're going to talk about this later, y'all should talk about that later. That's a good sign. That's a risk management sign, I think, John. I can use your word, a risk management sign that we need to talk about this later, because if they want to talk about it later, they don't want to get into how they don't want to have a bad mouth. I don't know what else word to say. They don't want to cut up. You know, they know how they could be, you know.
Here's what I think. I think on some level, after both parties have calmed down, it is best for us to vent and express ourselves completely and totally. The reason being, I think nothing is worse than when, you know, you're in a relationship or a marriage and there's, you know, some issues going on and both parties are silent about it and just going about everyday life.
That thing is eating you up on the inside, but you just kind of just.
Yes. Wow.
And then that thing builds up, and it becomes resentment and unforgiveness.
Yeah.
And ultimately, hatred. And folks, somebody was telling me about a show called Snap, and, you know, I heard a young lady say she don't understand how people snap. I say, I do, easily.
yeah.
You keep pushing somebody to the limit and they don't say anything, that thing eventually builds up. At one of these days, you know, people trying to figure out what happened to Lorraine of Hobbit. What happened that caused Lorraine of Hobbit to grab that knife? He had enough.
Right, right.
Go ahead,
So we all talk about, you know, especially in relationships, that communication part. So you said that, John. So there should be a time frame. So in the beginning of a relationship, I think, you know, we have to talk about those things in which we don't. You know, most people in the beginning of a relationship kind of let things flow, kind of let things kind of go on its own. You know, they kind of let things go on its own way. But when you let things, to me, I think relationships are designed. Because when you let things flow, it can unflow. And you not know whatever happens. You ever get to the point when you're talking to someone and it's good, and then all of a sudden they stop just calling? And it's like, what happened? Like, did I
guilty,
say something
guilty.
Wrong?
Okay.
You know
guilty.
What I'm saying? So for me, you know, anybody or anyone that I get in a relationship with, I let them know, listen, if I like you, there are certain things that I'm going to do to let you know that I like you and that I want to be with you. I will call. I will text. I will come see you.
Right.
I will let you know. If I don't like you, guess what? I'm not going to call. I'm not going to text you. The inconsistent. So,
wait. Lewis, hold on, Lewis. I got to jump in because what you say is so true. You meet somebody, right? And I love Tanisha's statement. She said, when you meet them, they seem interesting. But as you start developing some dialogue, I'm like, I'm not interested no more. So you be calling people and the conversation be good, you know. And then after you done heard enough and you done developed or you done tapped into that level of craziness or they not stable, you ain't answering their calls no more. And they don't get it right away, right? It's not until like a week, 2 weeks. They're like, dang, she ain't calling me no more. You just not getting it because I done saw something I'm not interested in. And I think communication is so important in the beginning. You know, even in my dating stages right now, I think that I try to communicate. And I try to be very careful because I'm a strong woman, you know. And, you know, us women.
Don't give them too much. Don't give them too much level of crazy, Keenan. Don't give them too much level of crazy.
What does that mean?
I have an alter ego. Let me just say her name is Tony. So I'm not going to introduce y'all to Tony today. And listen, don't judge me because y'all got to understand Jesus had many names, okay? So Tony can surface. Tony can surface, okay? And that means you're tapping on my reserve nerve, okay? The last one. And so, you know, for me, I can meet you and I could be dating you and I'm going to communicate, you know. But like Lewis said, we like for it to flow, but we also let some things slide, and I think that's the issue. When we let some things slide, it's like those the red flag or the yellow flags, and we're letting them slide when we should deal with them. You know, I was taught by one married couple, you nip things in the bud from the beginning. Even in the dating stages, you nip it in the bud. You let them let that person know right off the back, look, that's the area for me that's a flag. And I think we need to deal with it or at least shed some light on it so you can know this is an area for me that I don't like or this is an area for me that I'm struggling in, and I need to let you know. But we don't let them know for many reasons. The number one reason, everybody wants somebody. So kind of
you
want to
keep them, right?
Come on, we want to keep them. It's like a good man, Lord, and not compromise in this one area. Well, can you? Because if you can, you got to deal with that area for a long time. I told y'all last week what my pet peeve was, okay? And it was snoring, okay? Snoring is not a deal breaker. It's not a deal breaker, no, not at all. But that is like, Lord, I got to compromise. He better be worth it because I got to sleep next to the loud noise every day. Fine. But I know he's worth it. He's worth that compromise. And I was able to communicate that and get it out, you know? So don't judge me. I'm a work in progress, okay?
That was good. That was good. So listen, being that we're talking about that, let me shift this a little bit here. And, you know, there was a an event that happened a couple weeks ago. And I was speaking to someone who went to the event. It was more like a get-to-know-you single, I guess, event also. Single people would be there, you know, meet-and-greet type of thing. And the brother said, you know, the event was good, and there were a lot of women there, probably 7 to 1, I would say, in the event. You can quote me if I'm wrong, John. But he said that all of the women that he spoke to had an angry face. And he felt like, well, why are you here? Aren't you here? You know, this is supposed to be the speed dating and the meeting in place and all of this here to meet men. But he said, but most of the women that I approached, I felt like I would be friendly. And he's a friendly guy. I would say, hey, how you doing? And it was looking like, well, who is you? You know? And my question would be is the approach, are we not being acceptable to a good approach? Because if a gentleman walks up to you and say, hi, how you doing? My name is, you know, Jonna Lewis. Or if a female, you know, if she thinks that she's interested and you say, hey, how you doing? I'm Tanisha. Are we not acceptable to the approach, or are we immediately saying that I'm not interested, see you later, bye?
Listen,
is that okay? Is that okay?
I think women are notorious. I don't know. We have to start.
You got to use grown words, notorious. Go ahead.
Listen, fix the face is serious. It's very serious. I've learned or heard of women who were interested, and I was shocked. I was shocked because upon approaching them and just greeting them to say hi, you would have thought, you know, let's just say after meeting them, I had to go and really pray and deal with depression because they just made you feel so awful, so dirty and stank.
Wow.
And all you said was hi. Only to later discover they're interested. I don't know where we went wrong with teaching women. And that's why I say, please tell me what is this strong thing, because I think women think they just have to. If you're going to be strong, sweetie, be strong in the heart, not in the face. The face
come
is
on
just,
now.
All right now.
Yes, honey.
It's just, I don't know. Just give me a smile. If you want a man to keep pursuing you, you've got to give him something. There is no point of me attempting to pursue you if you're going to shut me down. Hey, how you
come
doing?
On now.
No, sorry. Bye. And then you're going to tell me, oh, no, I wanted you to keep going. I don't have time for these kind of games, sweetie. I'm getting older by the minute. You need to make up your mind. You either going to give me the time of day or you're not. Give me a sign. You don't have to say yes immediately, but give the brother a smile. Let the brother know, okay, you all right. Keep coming. Let me see what else you got. Give me some more. But don't just shut the brother down and then expect. I don't know where we went wrong in teaching women that their job is to shut the man down.
Teaching women.
I don't know. I'm saying I feel like there's a movement out here, but I dare not go speak on that because that's not my job.
Yeah, you dare not. Please don't.
There's no strong face movement, John.
If you want to keep this real, if you don't want to feel Tony right now, you need to be easy with that comment about teaching us because that ain't no.
I'm going to tell you, John, you did say something that was very important because that person mentioned it because their feelings was hurt. You understand what I'm saying? Because they're looking at it like, I'm a good brother. I'm a good-looking brother. You know, but, you know, I'm just speaking. This is an atmosphere for this, and I'm only speaking, and y'all three or whoever I spoke to are like, what you want? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, if he would have got up there and said, well, I'm such and such, and I do this and I have that, I'm just thinking, ladies, it probably would have been different.
Can I say something?
Anyway.
And I'm gonna get crucified for this, but I'm gonna throw it out there, and then everybody will hate me later. And those who follow me on social media are probably gonna block me after this. But here it is. I think women have become just as superficial as men are, and I say that because they go immediately appearance. Sometimes what you drive. Just a lot of things. I'm serious. And a lot of times they miss out on a great individual because he doesn't come packaged exactly how they want him. And so they criticize men for wanting a booty, rightfully so, we do. They criticize us for loving the hips. They criticize us for wanting to see them in a pencil skirt. But you guys do the same thing. And I was at an event, I will not say where, and the women there paid me absolutely no mind. it just appeared that I was just a scum of the earth. They made me feel like absolute.
No, John. No.
I'm telling you. Listen to me. I said to myself, when I leave here, I'm going to have to get into prayer so I don't sink into deep depression. That's how poorly the treatment. But here it is. After I opened my mouth and they heard what was coming out of my mouth, they said, wait a minute, this brother got some substance to them. And now they want to greet me, but now, you know, it was the prophet Mike Jones who said,
said
Mike Jones said,
back then,
they
you ain't know me. Now I'm hot. Yes.
They all know me. No, it don't work like that, city. You wasn't willing to give me the time of day 2 minutes ago. Don't do it now because you heard me use some big words and that you noticed that I was eloquent in speech. No. Now you feel like you could show me off to your homegirls because you could make me open my mouth and talk, and they're going to say, oh, she's a smart man. No, boo-hoo.
Okay.
No. I wasn't dark enough.
I'm going to raise a flag. I got to raise a flag. Flag on a plate.
I have a caller, actually. Can we let this caller come in?
Yes.
Louis, or did you want to say something first?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, I have caller with your number ending in 9109. Hi, caller.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, where are you calling from?
From Miami, Florida.
Okay, if you want to say your name, you can, but go ahead.
Well, my name is Nellie, and I wanted to comment on the comment about the women and their demeanor. And I wanted to say that it can be a culture thing because I am Haitian, and you're raised, for example, that you don't stand there and kiki in front of the guys. You don't smile because it makes you seem easy. So sometimes it may be a culture thing. You don't want to – I don't want to make excuses for the ladies, but sometimes it may be a culture thing because then they might feel that – or sometimes I'm like that too. I don't smile as much because you don't want to give that aroma that I'm easy and I need you to come and I'm looking for something. So it's not that they're not interested, but it's just when you have something that has been put into your mind from such a young age and you have to look at the culture, so don't always let that be something that make you think that they don't want to be with you or something. Sometimes check the culture because there's so many cultures, so many upbringings, and sometimes it's bad that we give out a vibe that we're not interested. We are, but it's just you've been raised a certain way. So that's the comment I wanted to make.
I completely understand, my dear.
Thank you so much, Nellie.
No problem. Thank you.
I agree. It can be culturally. But I think we should work on it. I'm Haitian as well, Nellie. Nellie, I sound like a Nellie that I recognize.
You call the first name that.
You said her name. I'm just saying that I think a lot of women can miss out on some great individuals. Listen, I've had some brothers slide in my DM, and they said, look, what am I doing wrong? I spoke to her, and she just looked at me like she was about to rip me to pieces. And I don't know what to tell them because we don't know. We're not, no matter how prophetic we are, we don't know what's in y'all mind. And we really don't know that y'all could be interested. And so I think that is something that the women should work on.
I think that's why guys go on your DM and they say, hey. And it's like, what are you haying about? I mean, like, is it because they don't have to have an approach, or they're scared that if I say the wrong thing or you may not be interested, so they say, hey. You know what I'm saying? Back then, they went in my DM. I'm just saying, that. But, you know, hey.
Wait, let me jump in now. Let me jump in. Wait, hold on. Let me jump in real quick, you know, when it comes to this whole women and their demeanors and we not smiling, you know. It comes from a lot of things. It could be culture. It could be past relationship. We're very guarded now. We don't know, you know, if we smile too much, we may seem desperate. We may seem thirsty, you know. So if there's different reasons why behind it. But let me go back to Tyler Perry from last week. He did a movie. And y'all know it was about the two sisters, right? And one of the sisters had two kids, and one baby daddy was married. The other one was in jail. But God sent her a bus driver. Somebody say amen for the bus driver, right?
Amen for the bus driver.
God sent her a bus driver. But the one thing about this bus driver, see, this is why you need God when you're dating. This is why you need to seek God about your mate, about the person that you're going to court, because God will show you all things. He will show you that person's heart. God showed, and I know this is just a movie, but it may be fictional, but it's really real life. God showed that brother how she was broken, how she had been used and abused by her sister, father raped her. Her mother gave her to her. So she had so much. She had so many reasons not to give him a smile. She was just getting on the bus while he was driving. She mean mugging. And the people like, this is a good brother. Like John said, ladies, we can miss out on a good brother because of life issues, because of things that happen to us. But if you're a real man of God and you see something in a woman, you will seek God about that woman. He will tell you exactly how to get her. The one thing that man said to her, and I can't say it verbatim, he said, God sent me to restore you. He sent me to heal you, to cover you, to be what you needed, to bring you back to restoration. So, men, come on, let's stop trying to, because y'all know y'all got more women to choose than we got men to choose. So don't be trying to give me that excuse. Please don't, oh, y'all missed out on a good thing because you was mean mugging. No, you ain't have enough patience to search God for my heart so he can show you who I really am. Boom, I just dropped the bomb on all y'all.
Boom.
Wait a minute, prophetess. Wait a minute. When you go to the bank, and the teller is having a bad attitude, she just mean mugging you. She look like she just ready to stab you. Do you not say, I want to speak to a manager? You get. Why did you not say, Lord, help me minister to this bank teller?
The teller.
That's not how it works. We're going to have to take responsibility. You can't be breaking the brothers down and to the point where these boys out here going through depression, they got to slide in my DM. I'm out here stressed because I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the sisters. And then you talk about a real man of God ought to know. No, dear. The real man of God can't even pray because he's depressed. You done treated him so bad because he's depressed. How am I going to pray now?
God will show you the heart of a woman. If you really want to know, he will show you exactly. See, I always tell people I'm hard to get to. I'm a precious jewel, honey. I'm a royal queen. And so for me, if you want to get to this queen right here, you have to truly go. Look, this is not no sales pitch, okay, because I'm good. But what I'm trying to say is if you really want to get to if you really want to get to me, ask God, Lord, show me this woman's
right.
heart. I need to see what she's been through so I can make sure I don't remind her of the past, but I'm able to let her know what the best is coming for her. You know, you have to go to God because guess what? You don't know that woman's past. You only know what she chose to tell you. And we women know we can't tell y'all everything because you can't have it.
Oh,
handle it. So the best, exactly, that's another whole discussion. So
right.
You have to go to God to say, Lord, show me this man's heart. You know, show me why he's so angry, why he's so hurt, so I can tailor my actions towards him. And by me tailoring my actions, guess what it's doing for me as a person? Developing patience, developing unconditional love, and it's developing character. But guess what it's doing for him? It's healing and restoring. And that's the problem with marriages and couples today and dating. They don't want to go to God to say, God, help me get this woman or help me get this man. I got this, God. I don't need your help with this one. I got this.
The problem,
what you say, Lewis?
The problem with
say it again.
You
know,
say.
That sounds good.
Uh-oh.
And it does.
Thank you,
it really does. It sounds good, but the reality is we, prior to getting this man, we pray, you know, you beg God, you try to be on your best behavior, you try to get all your ducks in order, then when he show you the picture, you want to reinvent the picture, you know. And it's not women, it's men too. You know, we pray for what we want, right? We ask God for all these different things, and then he gives it to us the way he wants, and I think that's the miscommunication between us and God. See, we got to fix that first before we try to fix communication between me and you. Is that communication and how he communicates to us? We may say what we want, and he will give us what we need. And we try to reinvent that and try to change it to cater to what we think we want. And then we get into a situation, and we try to, and then we say, oh, my God, what happened? And we start putting the blame, and now I need help. But we've never identified what God really and truly wanted for us in the first place, because our communication between me and him is not right. And that's where we have to fix that. And that's where we have to get ourselves in line with the order and how he wants it done for us. And we miss that picture I mean, we could talk about all the different things and how we, but the reality is we have to fix the communication between us and who our God is. I don't care how godly you are. There are a lot of people that's godly in church. There's a lot of people that's godly outside the church, to keep it real. And it still is not fixed until we understand exactly what he wants for us and his desires. And we can't just impute that.
So and sometimes we have to be acceptable that, you know, the things that we desire and that we want from him and that we put on our list, and Lord, here go my list of what I want. He doesn't, you know, he will send you someone, or he will have someone come to you or find you. But that doesn't mean that that's 100% of what you ask for. You know,
right.
It's that 25% of development in the relationship that you have to go through. And sometimes people feel like, oh, you know, they get discouraged when things go a little bit wrong, or that person's not, you know, who, Lord, I thought you sent me somebody. He did. But that doesn't mean that he had to be 100% of what you wanted. You know what I'm saying? It's his decision. You know, he still sent him, you know. Hey, I got a caller on the line. Let me go ahead and get this call. Hi, caller. Your phone number ending in 3213. Are you there?
Hi, guys. This is Nikisha. How you guys doing?
Hey, Nikisha. We're good.
Hey.
We're good. What you got to add to the conversation?
I just want to say, I want to chime in on what Lewis was saying. I think that our miscommunication is that because God is such a gentleman and he gives us choices. I'm saying that because if he didn't give us choices, then all of us would be saved, right? All of us would be Christians. So God is agreeing with our will. If we're praying for this man, and in our mind, we already saying that that's the person that we want. Because he's such a gentleman, he's just going to give us that. You know, he's not going to say, okay. In his finite mind, he's saying, listen, this is not the person that I have for you, but because this is the person that you're telling me you want, I'm going to go ahead and give you that person. Because he's going to always agree with your will. So when we into relationships, or when we go into dating, we already go into it knowing that this is who we want. And God is probably saying, this is not who I have for you, but because you already got your mind set on that that's the person that you want, he's going to say, okay, I'm going to let you have that. I'm going to let you go through that. I'm going to allow you to be in my permissive will, but it's not going to be perfect. That's what we get the misconception, you know, and then we start blaming God. Oh, God, it's the woman you gave me. No, this is the woman you prayed for.
Right.
Yep.
This who you
are. Hold on now.
So then we get all, oh, God, you sent me this woman. My heart broke. So now when somebody else approaches you, always thinking, oh, it's the same thing. But no, it's not. Maybe this is the person
the
that God
thing.
Is helping. It's sending to help you. I also want to say, I think for me, a lot of people say I'm too friendly. So I don't have the whole, God approached me, I'm mean. I'm just really friendly. So it can come off sometimes that I'm very flirtatious, but I'm not. I'm just a friendly person. But I'm very outspoken. If I like you, I'm going to tell you that I like you. And then I'm going to call you. I'm going to text you. But if you don't call me back, then I'm going to feel like you don't really like me.
That's right. Come
you?
On, you're right. And I'm going to be doing this at that time. I ain't calling no more. Yep.
Like, and that's probably Shakina. Like, I still want to try to call you because I really do like you.
I know.
Right?
You do it one more time.
Maybe
and
I'm going to
be another
time.
Week. And then it'll be one more week, and then one more 2 weeks, and then you're like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
I think in relationship we gotta really, really, like Lewis was saying, communicate to God and let him give us that person. Not think that, okay, this is the person for me, and really, you know, come on, something about the person say, nah, this not going to go with what we got going on. You know, you have that feeling. As women, we have the intuition. It's like, okay, nah, this not going to work. But you still want to try for it because you think that you can pull out the potential, but maybe that's somebody else's potential, not yours. Because we all us changes, you know. Girl, y'all don't get me to preaching.
Well, you done said something right there, Tanisha. You write that one down. That's a good topic. Dealing with men who look like potential, but they're not purpose. Write that down.
Ooh, girl, I'm going to write that down.
So we can say that next week that can be part of our topic, you know, dealing with men.
Identifying potential versus men who are purpose, yes. How do you identify a man that's just potential versus,
ooh,
oh, this is purpose in my life? We need to write that down.
Because
I can tell you, we all have met a whole lot of people that, man, you got the potential to be the king. You got the potential to be the queen, but you, I ain't looking for potential at this point. I'm looking for purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, some of them, they look like they got potential to be perpetrating a fraud. They know all the scriptures
because there's a whole
they
lot
know
of
all
talk.
The cliche words.
Be nice.
You,
be
you
nice.
Sit, you sit. You sit in a church and you quote stuff that somebody else done said.
Right. Oh, somebody else's
wow.
status. Right,
come on,
right,
that's
right,
perpetrating
right.
a fraud. Give me the real you and let me deal with that.
And that's the
give
thing. And you
heart.
Know, and I'm glad that you said that. We're going back to the preparedness. You have to give that person the real you. And some
mm-hmm.
people are just not comfortable with their own self. That's what it comes from. When you're not comfortable with your own self, it's hard for a person for you to give yourself to other people, the real you. You just give them a facade as if you're always friendly, if you're always just, as if you, like, never have an argument, or if you just, you know, that type of person. When we know in reality we all have issues and we deal with different things. So we have to just, you know, give that person our real self. Well, thank you so much, Nakisha. Make sure you stay on the
you're
line,
welcome.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
I like Nakisha. What is it, guys?
I like her again. She piggybacked off what I said.
She was team. No, she was the women won that this one tonight because, honey, she was so on point. You know, I got to say the women won tonight. I'm sorry, fellas. Y'all my brothers. I love y'all. But we took this one home tonight, you know. Standing ovation, ladies. Tanisha, go ahead and stand up. No, men, y'all need to stand up and give us a round of applause. We're going to
really?
Take tonight. I'm waiting on my applause. Hello, Tanisha, we're waiting
on
our applause.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And she said that, and she said it to the listeners because those are the ones who, I know that there are guys who are listening on the line, but those are the ones who actually call in and have something to say. And that's what this is every Monday night is about, is us, you know, chiming in together, not just us who are on the line, because we're free to answer the calls for other people who have something to say. And we're trying to be as frank and as candid as we can because we need each other's information, advice, you know, things that we're talking about because it can help us. But I can't say
mm-hmm.
that none of us get off this line and something that we haven't said, it may not have had a trigger in your life now, past, or current, or even moving forward, you know, and this is what this type of conversation is about. It's about edifying us when it comes to our relationships, you know, not only relationship with man and woman, but our relationship with God and so forth. So, you know, so I welcome you guys to, you know, press that one when we're on the line if you have something to say. You know, be free about it. And that's what we're saying in preparation. You have to be free as far as what you're dealing with and what's going on. Y'all have anything to say before we wrap it up? John
no,
or Lewis?
I'm good. I mean, y'all, you know, y'all took it to the cake. Women, y'all, you know, hey, y'all did your thing tonight. Y'all did your thing tonight.
John?
I just think we had a great call. Thank you all. I thought it was a phenomenal call tonight. Great conversation. Great dialogue. I love it.
Shaniqua, you have anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I just want to invite all the listeners, definitely the men, to call in. We want to hear y'all opinions. We want to hear what you all think. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be a real dialogue, the women, you know, women and the men. And we want to really talk. So I want to encourage everyone to join us next week, Monday at 9 o'clock. Men, call in. Because right now, the women is taking it on, you know, we're owning this platform right now. And you know what? The Bible says y'all supposed to be the head, and I want to submit. So I need the brothers to call in and put us in our place if you can. And it takes a real man of God. It takes a real man of God to be able to humble a powerful woman of God like myself. So come
Amen.
On, man. I'm calling you out. You are called out to join us next week, Monday, 9 p.m. right here. My girl, Tanisha, John, Lewis, right here, 9 o'clock. I want the phone lines to be blowing up with the men letting us know how they feel, and let's see how this going to go down.
Don't forget
All
Tony.
Right. Awesome, awesome. Who?
I don't forget Tony.
Don't forget to bring Tony, Sakina.
Oh, you already know. Tony going to be in the building, honey.
She's
going to
bring Tony, and she's going to bring Prophet. So she's going to bring all of them.
As soon as y'all start going left, Tony going to go right. So if you don't want me to go right, don't go left, okay?
And we mean it's all in good humor, guys. We all people of God, so we mean it's all in good humor. And hope
yes.
that you, can, you know, that you can laugh with us. It's all good fun. We want to thank you guys for calling in and sharing with us and also listening. I want to thank the people who call in and are early on the line because I think I have a limit that's on the line. So there are people who are already sitting on the line 5 minutes before five waiting, and I thank you so much. This time I was on time, okay, that are waiting. So I thank you guys so much. And just call, you know, get us back on next week. You can check us out on Facebook. Just go to Tanisha Simpkins or Shekinah Bruton, John My Pleasure, Lewis Johnson, either one of those, and you will see us there. So you can just, you know, add or follow as friendship. All right, and also on Instagram. We want to thank you guys for listening. You guys have a great night. Team, y'all have a good night. See you back on next Monday.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.